Maybe you've said statements like this or thought statements like this: I can't get victory. I'll never change. I've tried it and it doesn't work. Or I guess that's just the way I am. There's no hope for me in that area. Have you ever thought those things? Have you ever said those things? Well, those are the kind of statements that are made by people with strongholds in their lives. Spiritual strongholds that grip them, that control them. And they are powerful. Make no mistake, they are powerful. I guess that's why God calls them strongholds. But I'm here to give you hope from the Almighty God who's able to tear down those strongholds. We're in a series on the book of 2 Corinthians. It's entitled Living an Authentic Life. And from this book, where the Apostle Paul is the human author, writes, we are learning about what makes him real and authentic. In fact, when you read the pages of this book, in many ways, it's like reading his journal. Here's a man who opens himself up very clearly for who he is, and he's talking to a church at Corinth that is a church that he was the founding pastor, the church planting pastor. He knew them well. Oh, with all of their struggles, he helped them through them. And even some struggles they were experiencing even at the time of the writing of this book. And so he's very personal and open with them. And as we read of his openness with them and their response and his life through this, we're learning what it means for us to be the real deal. Because with all you think of with Paul, and you think of him as the missionary, you think of him as the church planter, the apostle, you think of him as the author, the human author of Scripture, you think of him in all of those things, and he is. At the foundation of all of that is a man who is the real deal. You know, there are a lot of things you can be, but there is no substitute for being real, authentic. And here's what we learn. We learn this about strongholds and people that are authentic. And that is, authentic people yield to God's power to tear down strongholds in their lives. Authentic people, I'll say that again, yield to God's power to tear down strongholds in their lives. So turn with me in your Bible to that book of 2 Corinthians, and you will go to chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, as always, give you a moment to find it. And today we will stand and read this portion of Scripture. I'll read aloud. So stand with me, please, and follow along as I read aloud. We'll read beginning in verse 1 and we'll read through verse 6. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there's some things that God will tell us about. He will tell us about the power of defeating strongholds. And God will also tell us about the principle of defeating strongholds. He will tell us about the power for defeating strongholds. And then in this passage of Scripture, God will tell us about the process of defeating strongholds. Do you have strongholds in your life? Have you ever said, I can't? There's no hope. My friend, you have strongholds. And aren't you glad that we have a God who's able to tear down those strongholds. So let's pray and ask Him to help us, all right? Lord, we need Your help. And we are coming as people that are not necessarily, I hope we're not wise in our own eyes, thinking we have every answer and we've got it all made. But we come as people that acknowledge that we are, in our very best, we are weak and defiled, and we need You. And so we're asking for You to help us. These areas are very personal. And a life, and all of us have at times strongholds that is dominated by this, is overwhelming. And so we thank You that You're able, and we pray that You will, by the Holy Spirit, speak to us from Your book. And we yield to His voice. So whatever He says, God, whatever God the Spirit says, we are willing to yield to Him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Go ahead and have a seat. So the Apostle Paul describes for us in this portion of Scripture the power of defeating strongholds. You'll notice in verse 4 as we read it, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, what do you mean by stronghold? What's a stronghold anyway? You see, a stronghold, think of it maybe as a fortress. Satan begins to build in our minds a place where his truth, his false truth rests, and where we believe it, and where his false truth begins to control us. And this becomes a base of operations in our own hearts and our own minds. And he gets a grip on our minds. And when people begin to think that there's no hope for me in this problem, when people begin to think there is no power for me in this problem, when people begin to get in that state, then it is a sign that this is a stronghold. It is a habit. It is a mindset. It is something where God or where Satan has a place that is fortified and it controls you in your life. Author Anthony Evans, in his work on this portion of Scripture, says this: a stronghold is a mindset that holds you hostage. It makes you believe that you are hopelessly locked into a situation, that you are powerless to change. And then he describes it this way. He says it's very much like a computer. Before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, we had a godless operating system. And we had a thought system that was vain and empty, and Satan controlled the keyboard that entered the data into our minds and put it on the screen of our lives to be lived out. But when we came to Jesus Christ, He gave us a new drive in our minds and a new data to control the way we live. And every believer has this new data. But many are still living by the old data that will not be erased completely till we get to heaven. Even though we are on our way to heaven, we are still being programmed by the enemy in some areas. And this is why the Apostle Paul had to write this and why God put it in the Bible. Because he understood the power of strongholds in people's lives. And he gave us this portion of Scripture so that God, through it, would help us to know that he has the power to overcome strongholds. And he helps us to identify that there are strongholds. And let us know that there is hope for us when we are overwhelmed with these strongholds. Well, how would you describe a stronghold? Well, let me ask you this. When I started talking to you about strongholds, what came to your mind? That's probably a stronghold in your life. Often these spiritual strongholds are so built up in our thinking that we don't even realize them. It has become so normal for us to coexist with these stronghold areas in our lives, and we've just limped along, and they have become so powerful that as we partake in them, we don't even realize sometimes how defeated we live and how powerful and manipulating they are. And see, as the light of the truth of the Word is shown in our hearts and God the Spirit brings the conviction into our lives, God is beginning one by one to reveal to us strongholds in our lives. And church, this is why we need the moving of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit of God. I could preach so I'm blue in the face to you. And you say, yeah, I know. Sometimes I think you're preaching till you're blue in the face. I'm getting hungry. In the early service, they have it better. They have a deadline. In this service, you don't have a deadline. And I don't either. No, I try to be good about it. Do you understand? I could preach to you till I'm blue in the face. But unless the Holy Spirit of God reveals to you the fact of your own sin and the fact of where you really are, that our blind minds and our flesh will justify and will rationalize and will turn away and will not accept it. That is why, oh church, I over the last number of days, God has so burdened me about this, that we need the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to wake us and to show the light of the truth and show us where we are. In His mercy, to step in so that we don't have to live this way. So we're told then in this passage about the power of these defeating strongholds. And you say, well, okay, here's what we do. We'll say, okay, I know I've got this problem in my life. I'm gonna fix my problem. I'll fix it. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to take care of this problem in my life. Now, if that is the way you approach the spiritual strongholds in your life, then my friend, you need to hold on, because you need to know what God says about the principle of defeating strongholds. The principle of defeating strongholds. There was an accusation made against our brother Paul. The church at Corinth, of course, he was the founding pastor, and he ministered to them. He ministered to them out of humility. And so there were those that came to the Lord, and this church was founded and established, and God was doing a work in that church. And the church had all kinds of problems. Remember, Brother Paul had to leave. And they sent him a letter, and they asked a number of questions, and he heard all these questions, and he was giving them answers to. And they had problems, and he was giving them answers to their problems and giving them direction what to do. And so he wrote a letter to them. We call that letter in our Bible what? We call that letter 1 Corinthians. So he writes a letter to them. And some of the brothers and the sisters in the church at Corinth were saying, what right does that guy have to tell us what to do? Now, the Apostle Paul had a very special place. He was just that. He was the Apostle Paul. The apostles had a role in the founding of the church in those early days, that they had a special office and God would speak to them directly, so that while the Bible was being written, the truth would be made manifest. But some of the brothers and sisters, well, he's saved by the same grace of God that I'm saved by. I'm just as much a born-again believer as he is. I have equal standing with him, and there is a sense in which that is true, but God had given him this very special role, and he could speak for God authoritatively. And some of the brothers and sisters didn't like it. And rather than follow, really, it wasn't about Paul, it was about the Lord. Rather than follow the Lord, they said, I don't want to listen to him. And so as you read this, you'll get a sense of that spirit. Let's read what the Bible says, chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, that with present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You get that? Now, I've been real bold and really meek. But for those that are making this accusation that it's all about me, it's all in my flesh, and it's all for me, and it's all about me, and I'm doing what I want, not what God wants, when I get there, I may not be so meek and quiet. I'll be bold if I have to be. And so he does then, with the accusation made, beginning in verse 3 through verse 11, there is an answer to the accusation. I want to read to you beginning in verse 7 as we continue this. Picture this as Paul writes to think it through. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him think of himself, or let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, they say, they are weighty and powerful. But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, and such will we be also indeed when we are present. But there was something that this church needed to understand. Because they were all caught up in how Paul appeared. He doesn't seem like a really eloquent guy. He doesn't seem like a guy who's strong and bold. He's meek and he's humble. That kind of a guy can't really speak for the Lord, can he? Look at that guy. But there is an axiom in spiritual warfare that this church did not understand. That the Apostle Paul needed them to, or God needed them to understand as the Apostle Paul is writing this scripture. This is an unchanging truth. It's a principle for defeating spiritual strongholds in your life. And this is something that if you want to overcome the stronghold that's so powerful in your life, that attitude that is so powerful, it has so dominated your thinking in every way, that spirit, that habit in your life, you have to understand this if you want to know God's power to overcome it. You'll read about it in verse 3. Let's read it aloud together. Are you ready? Let's lift our voices and read the scriptures. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I'm going to say it again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Spiritual warfare is won with spiritual ways. Winning spiritual warfare requires spiritual weapons. When you reach the point in your life that you realize that trying better is not going to help me overcome this, that reforming and on the outside is not enough, because God doesn't want reformation. God wants transformation. And transformation takes place from the inside. And overcoming these powerful strongholds is an inside job that God does from the inside. And you must understand that all of the external things that are helpful will not work unless there is a spiritual power. See, I'm for programs. And I'm for processes. And I'm for disciplines. I'm for all of that. But my friend, that is not what transforms your life. If you're not careful, you can have your checklist of all the things that you're doing and depend on your checklist and not on the power of Christ. And when the checklist is taken away, you will not be transformed. You will be reformed, but not transformed. And you will not overcome that powerful stronghold in your life. You know, when you reach the point in your life that you begin to understand how inadequate you and I are, then you are finally on your way to the sufficiency of Christ. Now, I really don't like to be told I'm inadequate. Because see, in my flesh, I want to be able to handle it. I want to be able to see and say, look what I can do. But my friends, this is the secret of God's power to overcome these strongholds that we all have in our lives. It is that I need spiritual weapons and spiritual power to be a winner in spiritual warfare. And you know, for you, that is probably the most important thing that's happened to you in the last week. when you realize that you are inadequate. And that stronghold that so dominates you, and it's so discouraging and defeating, it takes away all hope, it takes away all motivation, and it leaves you empty and drained to know, my friend, that you are inadequate to defeat that. You need some help. So in this passage of Scripture then, the Apostle Paul tells us about the principle of defeating strongholds. So he tells us the power of these. He reminds us of the principle of defeating these. And then he tells us, thirdly, of the power for defeating these strongholds. The power for defeating these strongholds. And with Paul, I want to first instruct you and do so by way of a contrast of power source that is described here. Look at your Bible at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, wait for a minute. Stop right there. What does the word carnal mean? The word carnal means fleshly. It means controlled or dominated by human power. So you have this contrast. And the weapons of our warfare in this spiritual battle to overcome these strongholds, they are not carnal, fleshly. They are not human powered. But on the other side, keep reading. But these are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The power for defeating strongholds must be a supernatural power. Now listen, that is why in every program you use and all the disciplines and all the structure you put in your life and all of that is important and all of that will help you. But my friend, that will not replace the supernatural working of God in you. You need a supernatural power that this is all done through God. Why is it that you've tried and tried and tried? And yet there's no long-term transformation. It gets better for a little bit, but it doesn't change long-term. And after a while, you want to stop trying. Don't you want to just stop trying after a while? Because you need a supernatural power. 1996. It was the last day of the baseball season, Major League Baseball season. The Texas Rangers were playing on that last game of the last day, and they were trying to win a division title. They were playing at home in Texas, and the game went late. It went into extra innings. In fact, it went into 15 innings. That's a long baseball game. And at the end of 15 innings, they were trying to play their way into the division title. At the end of 15 innings, the Texas Rangers lost the ball game. But at this defeat, the players stormed the field. The fans danced in the stands. Do you know why? After defeat, the people were dancing. The players were celebrating. You know why? Because the rival was playing in California. And over the scoreboard, it came that their rival had lost. And even though they lost the game, they won the title. They needed some help. You need help. I need help. I need a supernatural work of God for those strongholds of my life to be transformed, to be broken down. Paul could relate to this. Even when he started the ministry in Corinth there, in fact, if you keep your place in 2 Corinthians, I'll have you go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul is giving a testimony when he came to this church at Corinth, and he reminds them of the time when he entered their city on his missions venture. And I, brethren, verse 1 says, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He'd never make it on TV preaching circuit. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. When I think of Paul, I think of a guy that is bold and fearless. That's what I've never met him. Some of you are looking at me like, really? You never met him? Except in his writings. But in my mind, I think of a guy that is a dynamic man that just comes and takes a city by a storm. And we all watch in amazement. But his own testimony was, when I came, I was just weak, fearful, trembling. I like that. That's the kind of guy I relate to, that guy. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, Paul, even at the beginning, when he began his ministry there, and when these Corinthians first heard the gospel and they turned from idols to trust the living and true God, when it all happened, he said, I want you to know I came. And when I came, it was not about me. It was not because I was so silver-tongued and I was such an imposing figure. I didn't want that, and I'm not that way anyway, because I want you to know that anything that happens in your life that matters is by the power of God. You need supernatural power. Well, then Paul goes on and he tells us something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Because he tells us, beside the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, when you use the word stronghold, what a wonderful word stronghold is. Stronghold is a military term. Imagine this. Imagine living in the ancient world and imagine a Roman soldier. You've seen pictures of Roman soldiers. In the ancient world of Jesus, or of Paul's day and of Jesus' day too, Rome dominated by her military power. Everybody knew Rome's military power. It was a normal part of life to see soldiers in their Roman their uniforms. Everybody knew the power of Rome and how Rome extended her influence over the world by conquering by the power of her army. And imagine this Roman army who besieges a city. And the Roman army, after the city is besieged, and then eventually the city is taken, so that city cannot fortify itself again as an enemy, the Roman army would then tear down those walls. They would pull down the walls. And now the Apostle Paul takes that term. Everybody understood the ways of Rome. Everybody understood the power of Rome. And he says, listen, in your life, do you realize there are strongholds that are strong, mighty fortresses in your life? But God has the power to pull those down. Whatever the stronghold, God's power is not just a supernatural power, but because it is a supernatural power, it is a sufficient power. There is not a stronghold in your life that God does not have the power to tear down. Now, you don't think that sometimes, do you? I don't. But I tell you, God is true. Let every man be a liar. There is not a stronghold that He cannot tear down. His power is sufficient and mighty through Him to tear down those strongholds. Wall by wall, wall by wall, little by little, God has the power to tear down the strongholds in your life. So have you come to the point that stronghold in your life, you begin to view it differently? See, are you looking at it as, well, that's just the way I am? Well, I've been this way for so long, there's no hope. I'll just live with it. Or are you going to begin to look at it as, this is a sin. This is a sin that God has the power to overcome in my life. See, as long as you're blaming people, or as long as you're saying, well, it's just the way I am, as long as you're saying, well, it's been so long, then the power of God isn't needed because you're making excuses. But when you begin to see it the way God sees it, this is a sin that is defeating and dominating and is not done, is so controlling you, it is taking away the power of God in my life. And you begin to see it as a sin before God. My friend, then you're at the place where finally you're broken enough for God's power to begin to work and begin to pull down those strongholds. So what about those strongholds in your life, and what's your attitude toward them? And what is your understanding of them? And are you accepting these as the way God views them? Because when you begin to do that and you say, I need God's power, and God's power is enough to tear down any stronghold in my life, then my friend, when you reach that point, then you're ready to go from my power to God's power. You've tried in your power, haven't you? You've tried. Look where it's headed you. Look what's happened in your power. But now it's time to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your power. Now you say, okay, how does this happen where I go from my power to God's power? How do I transfer from my power that I've still stuck and still have strongholds in my life to God's power where God is tearing down those walls? How do I do that? When we get together the next time, we'll open this portion more and we'll show you what God says about how that takes place. That's the process for defeating strongholds. But we'll save that for next time. Today, let's talk about your understanding and what God is doing in your life about the power of these defeating strongholds. And God the Spirit's been dealing with your heart. And God the Spirit has helped you to see maybe there are strongholds that you never thought of. You never thought of them as something that is sinful. You thought of it as something that gets in the way. It's really not all that comfortable, but you've never thought of it as sinful. Maybe you've just given up hope and you're beginning to understand and know the power of these strongholds. But then I wonder about the principle for defeating strongholds. And you realize you're not going to win in the flesh. You've tried. You tried. And you know that in my life, this spiritual warfare needs spiritual weapons. And when you come to that point, then you are ready to understand and begin to experience the power for defeating strongholds. For you to acknowledge, God, I need your supernatural power. And when you leave today, you can walk out depending on one or two power sources. You can leave here depending on human power, my power, willpower, won't power, my strength. And if you choose that, my friend, that stronghold will remain in your life. But if you walk out with a renewed passion and surrenderedness to God's power, supernatural power, step by step, day by day, test by test, temptation by temptation, false thought by false thought, false belief by false belief, then my friend, learning to yield to God's power, then God will begin to tear down those walls. He'll begin to tear them down. So when you leave today, here's the question. Are you striving and going to live in your power or God's power? In God's power, let me tell you, it is mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. Stand with me, please. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. I've been living in defeat. I've been manipulated. And God is dealing with me because He's shown me some things that I now know that I never thought of this way before. And He has revealed to me that there needs to be some change in my life that He wants to make. This is your time to follow what God the Spirit is doing in your life. My power or God's power? Some people, they, when it comes to eternity and the sin of their own soul and the penalty for sin, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, they try my power and they're doing their, maybe it's religion, maybe it's just being good, maybe it's trying to be better. And they're saying, if I just do enough, then I'm going to be able to earn God's forgiveness. And my friend, you'll never be able to do enough. You need help. That's why Jesus died and rose again, because only He can save you, deliver you. His power. It's the good news of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Do you need to come to Christ and need His power to save you? Now, what I'm wondering then is, for those of us that know Christ as Savior, we've trusted Him to save us. But I wonder now, am I trusting my power or His power with those strongholds in my life? And today's the day that God the Spirit is dealing with your heart in such a way that you now are reaching a crisis point, a decision point, to where you're ready to say, God, I've tried my power. It's taking me nowhere. Now I need to come in your power. This is the moment for you to make that decision. And in a minute, what will happen is I will pray. And after I pray, then the instruments will play. And we will give you, in the quietness of this moment, in the stillness of this moment, while God is quietly but powerfully speaking to your heart, we will give you the chance right now to say, all right, Lord, my power is not enough. I come broken, dependent on your power. And make this a significant day, a turning point in your life. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak. You have spoken by faith. You've spoken in your word. I know you have. And by faith, I believe that you have spoken through your word by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that truly there would be such a brokenness. People that need to come to Christ to be saved, there to rest in His power to save. Other people that know Him, but they need to come to Him for His power to set them free. I pray that you would indeed do this work today. And bring us broken before you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. This is the time for you. Come to the nearest aisle. You say, I need to come to Christ to save me. I can't save myself. I need someone to save me. Jesus can save you. Find that nearest aisle and reach. Come to the front, and the men are here and they're waiting, and then they'll direct you. You say, I've got some things in my life that are strongholds. I need the power of God in my life. I've tried it all my way, and now I need to know His help and His power in my life. This is the time for you to come on. There are other decisions to be made. This is the moment. See, I need to make a commitment to the Lord, to His church, whatever it is that you're doing and God's doing in your life. This is the time for you to make that step. God is dealing with your heart. Aren't you glad for His mercy? Aren't you glad? And as He has mercifully spoken to you and dealt with you, this is the time for you to say, "All right, Lord, I'm inadequate. I need Your power." And oh, it's enough. It brings hope. This song is such a nice expression of dependence to save, and that same salvation faith is what gives us the power to be changed. Let's sing together, "Only Trust Him." Come every soul, come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Well, we have some folks here that are presenting themselves for membership. The Peltiers, Brothers Peltier, if you all go ahead and stand. And let's see here. This is Gary and Melissa Peltier, and they've moved to Chattanooga just recently. And Gary, you've received the Lord as your Savior and obeyed Him in believer's baptism since that time. Melissa, you have done as well. And they told us about that new members class, and I know that's so. And so they have come and presented themselves for membership here. If and do you all believe that the Spirit of God is leading you to be part of this church body? All right. Upon your desire and your testimony, then, if you're a member here and glad to welcome these folks to our congregation, signify by saying amen. Amen. Those opposed, by like sign. All right. I was afraid Jessica might vote no. They work together. I'm glad that you didn't vote no, Jessica. That's good. I'm pleased for that. All right. So what we're going to do is we'll have a song, and then we'll, after we're dismissed, church family, would you come and welcome the Peltiers? Jessica, I'm going to have you come over and stand with them, since you work together, and introduce people to them as they come through. Would that work okay? All right. Very good. That'll be fantastic. Pastor Jones is going to come close us with a song. Church, we will see you tonight. I'm just looking forward to being together. And remember, tonight after the service, there are a couple things for our young adults and teenagers. The Mentor Project, our young adults are want to be involved in mentoring our young people. And so that's starting out. Afterward, there's a thing for you. And then we have a brief, and it will be a brief, leaders meeting. It's in your bulletin. I want to remind you of that. Okay? All right. Sir?
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Let's sing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.